Good afternoon, congregation. Once again, a warm welcome to guests worshiping with us. To repeat this morning's announcements, Angela Joy Faber and Raymond Cornelius Schutten have indicated their desire to enter into the married state according to the ordinance of God. They desire to begin this holy state in the name of the Lord and to complete it to His glory. If no lawful objection is brought forward, the ceremony will take place, the Lord willing, on July 21st, 2012, in the Canadian Reformed Church of Aldergrove. Further, the consistory will meet tomorrow evening at 7:30, and there will be a Vesper service at Zion Manor at 6:30 this evening, and the song of approach this afternoon is Hymn 7, the verses 3 and 4.
All who are able, please rise. Sing to God. Sing praise to His name. Extol Him who rides on the clouds. His name is the Lord. And rejoice before Him. With angels and archangels, all the company of heaven and the church on earth, let us worship the Lord. Our help is in the name of the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Brothers and sisters, receive His greeting. Grace and peace to you from Him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before His throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler, the kings of the earth. Amen. Let us continue singing the praises of our God with the stanzas 1, 2, and 3 of Psalm 105.
Thank you.
God's Word says in Philippians 2, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore God exalted him to the highest place, and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Let us worship and confess the name of our God by singing the hymn 1A, the Apostles' Creed, as that is set to music there. Pray the prayer our Savior taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. We continue to hear the Word of God this afternoon in Holy Scripture. First, as we find that in Psalm 71, and after that in the New Testament in Matthew chapter 18. And after we have read these two passages, let us sing a response. Stanza 3 of Psalm 71. We read these passages in connection with our confession concerning holy baptism. Listen to God's word, fulfilled in our Lord Jesus Christ. In you, O Lord, I have taken refuge. Let me never be put to shame. Rescue me and deliver me in your righteousness. Turn your ear to me and save me. Be my rock of refuge to which I can always go. Give the command to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress. Deliver me, O my God, from the hand of the wicked, from the grasp of evil and cruel men. For you have been my hope, O Sovereign Lord, my confidence since my youth. From birth, I have relied on you. You brought me forth from my mother's womb. I will ever praise you. I have become like a portent to many, but you are my strong refuge. My mouth is filled with your praise, declaring your splendor all day long. Do not cast me away when I am old. Do not forsake me when my strength is gone. For my enemies speak against me. Those who wait to kill me conspire together. They say, God has forsaken him. Pursue him and seize him, for no one will rescue him. Be not far from me, O God. Come quickly, O my God, to help me. May my accusers perish in shame. May those who want to harm me be covered with scorn and disgrace. But as for me, I will always have hope. I will praise you more and more. My mouth will tell of your righteousness, of your salvation all day long, though I know not its measure. I will come and proclaim your mighty acts, O Sovereign Lord. I will proclaim your righteousness, yours alone. Since my youth, O God, you have taught me, and to this day I declare your marvelous deeds. Even when I am old and gray, do not forsake me, O God, till I declare your power to the next generation, your might to all who are to come. Your righteousness reaches to the skies, O God, you who have done great things. Who, O God, is like you? Though you have made me see troubles, many and bitter, you will restore my life again. From the depths of the earth, you will again bring me up. You will increase my honor and comfort me once again. I will praise you with the harp for your faithfulness, O my God. I will sing praise to you with the lyre, O Holy One of Israel. My lips will shout for joy when I sing praise to you, I, whom you have redeemed. My tongue will tell of your righteous acts all day long, for those who wanted to harm me have been put to shame and confusion. And now we turn to Matthew chapter 18. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" He called a little child and had him stand among them. He said, "I tell you the truth, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever welcomes a child like this in my name welcomes me. But if anyone causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to have a large millstone hung around his neck and to be drowned in the depths of the sea." This is God's word, and we give thanks to him.
Thank you.
Again, this afternoon, we give our attention to Lord's Day 27 of the Heidelberg Catechism. You can find that on pages 539 and 540 of the Book of Praise. And this is what we confess here. Does this outward washing with water itself wash away sins? No. Only the blood of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit cleanse us from all sins. Why then does the Holy Spirit call baptism the washing of regeneration and the washing away of sins? God speaks in this way for a good reason. He wants to teach us that the blood and Spirit of Christ remove our sins just as water takes away dirt from the body. But even more important, He wants to assure us by this divine pledge and sign that we are as truly cleansed from our sins spiritually as we are bodily washed with water. Should infants too be baptized? Yes. Infants as well as adults belong to God's covenant and congregation. Through Christ's blood, the redemption from sin and the Holy Spirit who works faith are promised to them no less than to adults. Therefore, by baptism as sign of the covenant, they must be incorporated into the Christian church and distinguished from the children of unbelievers. This was done in the old covenant by circumcision, in place of which baptism was instituted in the new covenant. As our response to the ministry of the word as confessed, we'll sing stanzas 9 and 10 of Psalm 71 after the sermon. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, children of God, last week we focused on the first two sections of this Lord's Day and then addressed the matter of the meaning of our baptismal washing, or perhaps better, the nature of our baptismal washing. We considered why the Bible and the Holy Spirit call baptism the washing of regeneration and the washing away of sins. We saw that the washing and cleansing of our souls is not brought about by the water as such, like the Belgian Confession says. Plain water cannot wash away sins. We also saw how important it is to place the focus on God Himself in the sacraments. Baptism is all about what God is doing in us and for us. Baptism shows us that God our Father has adopted us as His children, something that we'll give some more attention to this afternoon. Baptism, we saw, focuses us on Jesus and the rescue operation that He carried out for us by shedding His blood for the forgiveness of our sins. Baptism reminds us, we saw, that the Holy Spirit is the one who powerfully regenerates us, making us into new creatures, new people belonging to God. Article 33 of the Belgian Confession says it well when it says of the sacraments, Jesus Christ is their truth. So again, baptism is all about what God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is doing in us and for us. We also saw, furthermore, that God's work in us is a mighty and mysterious work. Also the work that He does in us through the sacrament of baptism. When we're baptized, we don't just get a sprinkling with water, we saw. As we confess in the Belgic Confession, the minister gives us the sacrament that is visible, the sprinkling with water. Then I quote, "But our Lord gives us what is signified by the sacrament, namely the invisible gifts of grace." He washes, purges, and cleanses our souls of all filth and unrighteousness, renews our hearts and fills them with all comfort, gives us true assurance of His fatherly goodness, clothes us with the new nature, and takes away the old nature with its works, the Belgian Confession says. In other words, when we are baptized, we receive not only the sacrament of baptism by the hand of the minister, the sprinkling with water. By means of that sacrament, we also receive from God Himself the gifts of grace that are signified by the sacrament. Namely, forgiveness of sins, renewal by the Holy Spirit, His assurance and fatherly goodness, and so on. We also saw that our baptismal washing is a mighty work of God through His all-powerful Word. You see, this is why only ministers of the Word are ordinarily authorized to administer holy baptism. For by means of baptism, God is speaking His authoritative and powerful Word over the baptized one. Baptism is God's visible Word, the liquid gospel. In other words, in baptism, God is speaking. And when God speaks, something always happens. We saw that last week in Psalm 29 and Hebrews 4. The voice of the Lord is powerful. Heaven and earth tremble at the voice of the Lord. In Hebrews 4, the Word of God is living and active. And baptism isn't just the sprinkling of water. It is also the announcement of the Word of God. The voice of God speaking. Holy baptism, then, isn't merely some human institution or action. Rather, it's God's visible word action by means of which He brings salvation to His children. Furthermore, as we saw, baptism is the means by which God points His finger at us, you and me personally, takes us into His arms, addresses each of us by name, and says, "All this is for you." And this brings us to a consideration of the receivers of this baptismal washing. And this is the topic of Lord's Day 27 in its third question and answer. Here in question and answer 74, the Catechism explains and defends the doctrine and practice of infant baptism. I don't think I need to repeat all the biblical arguments defending this practice. Most of them are quite familiar to us. The New Testament witness gives every indication that Jesus' command to the disciples regarding baptism applied to the children as much as to the adults. It's inconceivable, furthermore, that whereas God included children in His covenant in the Old Testament through circumcision, He would suddenly exclude children from the covenant after the coming of Christ. Goes against the whole grain of the Old Testament. The character of God is revealed in the Old Testament. Peter makes pretty clear in his teaching on the day of Pentecost that baptism is intended for children as well. Remember what happened. After issuing the command to his hearers, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you," Peter declared that God's covenant promises apply as much to children as adults when he said, "The promise is for you and for your children. Paul, too, makes abundantly clear in Colossians chapter 2 that baptism replaces circumcision in the new covenant. When he tells us that we have been circumcised in Christ through baptism. We could also mention the many household baptisms recorded in Acts. And we could mention many, many other places in both the Old and New Testaments that show that children of believers are covenant members, full covenant members, and therefore also ought to receive the sign and seal of the covenant in holy baptism. This afternoon, however, I would like to draw your attention to a number of other important observations about the receivers of holy baptism. The first thing that we take note of is that those who are baptized must receive what God hands to them in baptism by faith. In other words, you and I need to believe what God declares to us in our baptism in order to receive what God hands to us in our baptism. Article 33 of the Belgian Confession says that the purpose of the sacraments is to nourish and strengthen our faith. Do you remember how Paul talks in Romans 4 about the Old Testament sacrament of circumcision as a seal of the righteousness that Abram had by faith? In fact, faith itself is one of the things that God promises us in baptism, as the Catechism says in answer 74. Through Christ's blood, the redemption from sin and the Holy Spirit, who works faith, are promised to children no less than adults. Remember also what Jesus said, as recorded at the end of Mark, and mentioned in Lord's Day 26, Jesus said, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. What does this mean? Well, what this means is that if you are baptized, but still do not believe in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins, you will be condemned. Then you are guilty of apostasy, a very serious sin for those who are baptized. More on this later. There's a second thing to remember regarding the receivers of baptism. And that is that the receivers of baptism are themselves received into the church of God. The receivers of baptism are received into the church of God. This is the point that the Catechism makes when it speaks of those who are baptized as those who belong to God's covenant and congregation. And also when it says, by baptism, as sign of the covenant, the baptized must be incorporated. Or as the older version said, engrafted into the Christian church and distinguished from the children of unbelievers. By baptism, then, the receivers of baptism are received into Christ's church. They're incorporated into Christ's church. There's a third related point that needs to be made as well. And that is that through baptism, God is placing His mark on the baptized and claiming them as His own. That's what Jesus means by commanding people to be baptized into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. In your and my baptism, you see, God has placed His mark on us, His very name. Listen to how the Belgian Confession speaks of this. The Belgian Confession says that by baptism we are received into the Church of God and set apart from all other peoples and false religions to be entirely committed to Him whose mark and emblem we bear. Those who are baptized, in other words, bear the mark and emblem of God. God's sign is on us who have been baptized. His mark. Again, notice where the accent is. The accent is on God's claim on the baptized. And it reminds us that God's gift of salvation is a gift of grace. We don't receive God's grace because we have chosen Him, but because He has chosen us. The baptism of infants is indeed one of the most profound proofs of God's completely sovereign and undeserved grace to sinners. Think about that. A child doesn't ask to be baptized. A child cannot. Instead, God simply claims that child. God simply claims those whom He desires to save. He puts His mark on them. He promises them His salvation and brings them into His kingdom. Through baptism, God says to us and our children, I have decided to claim you and to offer you my kingdom. And that is grace. Left on our own, we would not have chosen God. Left on our own, we would not have looked for God. But God, in His grace, called us. God, in His grace, marked us out as His own. God, in His grace, marks out our children and grandchildren as His own. And when we recognize that this is what God is doing in baptism, placing His mark on us, then we're also in a better position to recognize what is going on when someone who is baptized falls away and falls into apostasy. Those baptized people who later fall away, who apostatize, as we then say, those baptized people have the mark and emblem of baptism on them. They belong to God. By turning away from God, what's happening? They are in fact becoming guilty of stealing what belongs to God. By turning away from God, the baptized person steals something, someone, from God. In fact, by turning away, a baptized person steals something, someone holy from God. And that makes the turning away of baptized people apostasy. An act of profanity against God. Sacrilege. You see, that is why, as those who are baptized, we must believe. Otherwise, we will be guilty of sacrilege. Otherwise, if we do not believe, as those who are baptized, we will be guilty of stealing something that belongs to God, namely ourselves. And we will be condemned. Remember, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. See why we have to take our baptism so seriously, brothers and sisters. We are dealing with the Holy God. And we are dealing with the Holy God as people whom He has made holy. And when we mess with what He has given us in holy baptism, then we are violating His holiness and we are violating our holiness. And we are committing a very, very serious sin. The word that God speaks over us in our baptism is powerful, as we noted last time and earlier. God's word never returns to Him empty. God's word, sharper than any double-edged sword, it says in Hebrews 4, penetrates even to the dividing of soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. And what does this mean? Well, it means this. God's powerful word, spoken over us and spoken to us in our baptism, will either result in our salvation, if we believe it, or it will result in our destruction if we reject it. We do not mess with God's word. What God has spoken will happen. And that's why we need to take our baptisms very seriously. There's a fourth thing that we should remember about the receivers of baptism, and that is that, in a sense, every baptism is infant baptism. Yes, even the baptism of adults. Let me explain what I mean. In the first place, what I mean is that there is only one baptism. Although we sometimes distinguish between infant baptism and adult baptism, we shouldn't take this to mean that such baptisms are of a different nature from one another, other than the age of those who receive them. Remember how the Apostle Paul speaks in Ephesians 4. He speaks of one baptism, alongside one Lord, one faith, and one God and Father of us all. One baptism. For this reason, in the Nicene Creed, we say that we acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. So, we should not give the baptism of one more weight than the baptism of another, depending on when they were baptized, whether as an infant or as an adult. There is but one baptism for the forgiveness of sins, and all who have received that baptism have been claimed by God to receive His grace and mercy in Christ. Now, you might wonder whether I'm going a little far to insist that, in a sense, every baptism is infant baptism. But what I mean by this goes back to what we read in Matthew 18. Please turn there with me again. Matthew 18. What a remarkable story this is. Here in Matthew 18, we read how Jesus called a little child, an infant, and had him stand among the disciples. Verse 2, he called the little child and had him stand among them. And he said, I tell you the truth, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven, and whoever welcomes a little child like this in my name welcomes me. Just try to picture how that must have went. Jesus called a little child to come and stand with him and his disciples. And that's what the child did. And that's what we must do. When we are called into the circle of Jesus and his disciples through baptism, we too must come. Through baptism, Jesus calls us too to stand with him and his disciples. And he commands us too to become like little children. In baptism, Jesus calls all little children, come, stand with me and my disciples. And he says that to each one of us. Our baptism, you see, whether as an adult or as a child, is a call to childhood, a call to childlike faith. More than that, our baptism is a call to be like Jesus, the eternal Son of God, the eternal child of God, who lives for the glory of the Father. Remember what Paul says at the end of Galatians 3 in this connection. He says there, in Galatians 3, you are all sons. You are all children of God through faith in Christ. For all of you who were baptized in Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. We are adopted as God's children through baptism. Paul says something similar in Romans 8. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. This picture of childlike faith that we're all called to through baptism is beautifully expressed in Psalm 71, isn't it? This psalm, which we read, expresses how both young and old, both infants and adults, both the infant child and the aged, may experience and enjoy the blessings of grace in the family of God. In this psalm, like we read, the elderly person becomes a child all over again, clinging to the bosom of Almighty Father, and says, in the words of verses 5 and 6, you have been my hope, O Sovereign Lord, my confidence since my youth. That's what the elderly person says, the elderly baptized one. He, she says, from birth I have relied on you. You brought me forth from my mother's womb. I will ever praise you. You see, that ought to be the confession of every elderly member of the church who has been baptized. I've always been your child, the elderly person says to God. And that's how I want to remain. I want to be your child, O God. And then the children and the youth, the babies and the teenagers and all the rest of us join the elderly in this song. And we say, do not cast me away when I am old. Do not forsake me when my strength is gone. Let me always be your child. Brothers and sisters, God has given us an amazing, indispensable gift in the sacrament of holy baptism. Let's continue to give thanks and praise to God for the power and blessedness of our baptismal washing. Let us not minimize the sacrament of holy baptism and act as if it is just a ritual with a bit of sprinkling of water. It is God's gift to us, in which He tells us who we are, through which He offers us His grace and mercy in Jesus Christ, by means of which He brings us into His kingdom. And let us receive this gift in faith, remembering that we must believe in order to receive the promises that He's given us. Let us daily give thanks that we too have been received into the church of God. And let us every day be aware that we bear the mark and emblem of God. Let's show in how we live, in how we act, in how we talk, in how we feel, that we bear God's mark. And let us also beware of falling into apostasy, of falling away from our God who has given us such great gifts. In this way, stealing from God what belongs to Him. Let us, each one of us, continue to say, with the Catechism, I am not my own, but belong with body and soul to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. And finally, having received this gift of baptism, let us always be and become like little children, following the example of God's only begotten Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. And with these blessings, let us eagerly anticipate entering His eternal kingdom, when we will cry out to Him yet again and forever, Abba, Father. Amen. We now have the opportunity to bring our offerings of gratitude and thanksgiving to the Lord our God for all the blessings that He has poured into our lives as His children. After the deacons have collected these offerings, and as we commit these offerings to the Lord, let us sing stanza 4 of Psalm 147. Let us pray. O Lord, our God and Father, we praise You and we give thanks to You. We humble ourselves before Your majesty and praise You for Your grace. What manner of love You have bestowed on us, O God, that we should be Your children. And that is what we are. Father, grant that each one of us may live in the daily awareness of that reality. We pray for the babies, even those who are still in their mother's womb. for the little ones in the nursery. We pray that they, having received the sign and seal of the covenant of grace, may respond in faith, that they may grow up to be faithful children of yours, that it may be their delight and their desire to love you and to worship you and to follow you and your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, we pray that that may be true for all the children among us, for the teenagers, for each one of us, including the elderly among us. May we all experience and show that bond that we have as your family, as those who have been incorporated, those who have been grafted into your church, those who have been received into your church. Father, with that awareness, help us to look out for each other and to care for each other, no matter what our age. Grant that we may experience your goodness across the generations as we rejoice in the little baby and in the toddler. And as we speak with the elderly person and listen to their stories. And as we share with each other the experiences of our lives and rejoice together in how you are our God, how you carry us through all the stages of our lives. Father, we pray that you would help us also in this coming week. We pray for your blessing upon each one of us in everything that we do, in all our tasks, and the work that you have given us to do, or in the vacations that we may enjoy. We pray for your protection and your care, your blessing, and your help day by day. We pray, Father, for your blessing upon all our marriages and families. Look in your grace upon us. And grant that in our relationships, as husbands and wives, and as parents and as children, and children with each other, we may show that we belong to you, and that Christ lives in our hearts and in our homes. Father, we also pray for those who have suffered breakdown in their marriages and families. Those who have gone through divorce, family breakup. We ask that you would be near them, that you would help them, and show your grace to them. And grant that they may also experience their goodness and your goodness and grace through us, your people. Gracious Father, we pray that you would continue to bless the propagation of your word throughout all the earth. And so we pray for all the nations of the earth. You are the God of all. You are the one from whom everything and everyone has come. And we pray that throughout this world, many more would acknowledge you as God and Father of all. Father, in particular, we remember those parts of the world where there is civil unrest and war and terror. We remember the happenings in Syria and in other parts of the world. Father, we pray that you would bring about peace. We pray that you would bring an end to terror, and that you would bring down wicked oppressors. Do not let them succeed, O Lord. We also pray that you would give courage and wisdom to the other rulers of this earth, that they may not stand idly by, but that they may do what they are obligated to do. Gracious God, we continue to pray for the work of mission and evangelism. We pray for our missionary, Reverend Dong. We pray for his family. We ask that you would be with the Chinese Reformed congregation, even as they now meet together worshiping you in another room in this building. We pray for your blessing upon the brothers who have been ordained to serve as elder and deacon. Uphold and strengthen them. Unite this congregation in the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Continue to bless and prosper them. Uphold and guide them day by day. Gracious God, we also pray for the mission work that is done in Prince George, the work that is beginning in Manitoba, the work that is done in Brazil, and wherever mission work is being done, Father, we pray for your blessing and your guidance and your help. Father, we ask that you would look upon us in your grace. Be with us as we leave this place. Continue to be near us with your grace and Spirit. Lead us in the path of truth and righteousness and joy and thanksgiving. And do that until your kingdom comes. And you will be all in all and everything to everyone. And we will worship you forever. Amen. Let us stand and sing as our parting song of praise this afternoon, hymn 56. Brothers and sisters, receive the benediction of your God, your Father, and your Savior, and go in peace. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen.